According to the parish website, our liturgy this morning is a contemplative celebration of the Holy Eucharist. Now, in my experience, and perhaps some of yours, a contemplative Eucharist can mean several things. It can mean candles and perhaps incense. It can mean Celtic music or music from, say, the Taizé community in France, or it can mean no music at all. It can mean significant periods of silence during the liturgy, and much more. It can also just mean simple or no frills, as opposed to the festive celebrations of Christmas Eve and Easter and other feast days of the church. After thinking a little bit more about this, I have concluded that a somewhat contemplative worship experience is entirely fitting on Christmas Day. And I say this because, particularly, the concluding sentences in the gospel reading we just heard, the familiar story of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus as told by Luke, this reading, it seems to me, invites us to enter into what the Quaker author and educator Parker Palmer has called the paradox of contemplation and action. Luke tells us that when the shepherds went to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger, they made known what had been told them by the angel about this child. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. While the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. In the Message New Testament, Eugene Peterson paraphrases the text this way. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the sheepherders were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. The sheepherders returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. The responses of Mary and the shepherds to this wondrous birth were, in Luke's telling, the responses of the early church for whom the gospel was written. And I want to suggest that the gospel invites us today to consider both responses, the contemplative response of Mary and the active response of the shepherds. Not as an either-or proposition, not alternating between one and the other, but, and here I am indebted to Palmer's insights, entering into the paradoxical truth that contemplation and action are not separate and apart from each other, but are parts of each other. Entering into that paradox and attending to what Thomas Merton called the hidden wholeness that lies beneath the broken surfaces of our lives. For you see, by integrating action and contemplation and action, the response of Mary and the response of the shepherds, I believe we can become more fully alive to the mystery of the Incarnation. Some of us perhaps think of contemplation as a spiritual practice reserved for members of religious orders. We assume that it occurs only in the context of monastic prayer and that it means withdrawal from the world periodically or even as a lifetime vocation. And we think, if this is contemplation, it is not for us. We are doers. We are doers out of necessity, if not by choice. We produce things. We make things happen. We don't have time to treasure and ponder things in our hearts. And besides, what good would it do? What difference would it make? Maybe we should listen then to what some of the Christian mystics and authors have said over the centuries about the experience of contemplation. Brother Lawrence, for example, described contemplation as the pure, loving gaze that finds God everywhere. That is to say, finding God in all things, in the here and now, in the real world in which we live. For the Quaker leader Douglas Steer, contemplation was a continual condition of prayerful sensitivity to what is really going on. And for Roman Catholic theologian Walter Burghardt, it was a long, loving look at the real. And to quote from Parker Palmer again, it was a matter of functioning in this manner, in all its forms, in order to penetrate illusion and help us to touch reality. To penetrate illusion and help us to touch reality. Nothing escapist or otherworldly about that. All of these things and more could be said of Mary's response to the birth of Jesus. We remember that Mary had 9 months to prepare for this birth, 3 of them spent with her cousin Elizabeth. And though only a girl, she already had a lifetime of experiences, traveling in late pregnancy, exhausted, frightened, bewildered, and finally giving birth in a stable. And yet even she was taken by surprise at the arrival of the shepherds and their story of heavenly multitudes. And so she added all this to what had already happened, to treasure and ponder, and one day to understand the deeper meaning of it all. As for the shepherds, I doubt that they expected much of anything. They were hungry people in a land of plenty. They were poor people in a wealthy land. They were oppressed people under the yoke of power. They were lowly people and religious outcasts. They were tending their sheep on the hillside, going about their dreary business, doing what they always did, day after day and night after night. And then suddenly an angel appeared and announced the birth of the Messiah, and announced it to them of all people. Although we can almost see them falling all over themselves, running to Bethlehem and back, we can only imagine the depth of joy and surprise that filled their hearts on hearing this news. The Christmas Gospel invites the church in every age to share their responses. The Christmas Gospel invites us to treasure and ponder with Mary the events surrounding the birth of Jesus, to open our eyes and ears, to open our hearts wide to all that God is doing in our lives, to experiences past and present, and to possibilities for the future, to the stories and traditions that have been handed down to us, and pondering them to grow in awareness of the right actions that God is calling forth from each of us. And the gospel invites us also to discover with the shepherds that life here on earth can be good, even in the midst of hopelessness, even for those on the fringes of society, and that joy can fill us when we least expect it and set us on a different path based on newfound truths about God and ourselves and the world around us. The Christmas Gospel invites all of us as members of the community of faith to a life of contemplation and action. It invites us to enter into the paradox and discover the hidden wholeness in this very real world, to penetrate the illusions of our age and to touch the timeless reality of God's love. For God is with us in the here and now. Emmanuel, offering a new beginning and fulfilling the promise of life. And so the gospel invites us to become co-creators with God of a more just and peaceful world, and to do the work that God has given us to do. Let me close with the words of Howard Thurman in his poem, The Work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart. Amen.